Now, we've been looking, as we've been coming to visit you all, about fire rescue, fire safety, because it's so vital, it's so important. And it's something that all of you, as well as being really important in your day-to-day life, in carrying around that knowledge, it's something that you can use towards badges and achievements within each of the groups that you are in. Each of the groups take this so seriously that all of them include this in part of their work. So I hope it's been useful to you. And I, to the groups I visited, I told you the story, the only story I have of fire rescue. And it was pretty lame because my mum managed to put the fire out before she dialed 999. And although it was a serious fire, she did get it out in time. And she phoned 999 just to make sure. But it's not the best story. It's not the most scary, most adventurous story. I'm really proud of my mum that she did it, though. And I was thinking of a time when I was in school and the rescue services were called. And my slides aren't working, boys, are they? No? No. Sadly, my slides are not working, so you're just going to have to use your imaginations in overdrive here. But first of all, to imagine me as a boy, and that's difficult enough. But I grew up in a village. I grew up in a village called Stromness. Stromness in Orkney. Hello. I just wanted to be a wave. There we go. He's calmed my storm. There we are. Thank you. It's been bothering you for a while. And others as well. Well, there we are. So I grew up in this village called Stromness in Orkney. And if any of you were in Gracemount Primary School when I came along and I spoke to you about Vikings, you'll remember that the Ness part is a big point out to sea. And the Strom part is for stream. Now, I don't just mean a little stream like the Birdie House Burn or something like that, because the stream in Stromness is a great tidal stream, and it's where the Atlantic and the North Sea meet. And some of the time, it's quite calm, and it just looks a bit kind of knotted like this, the two tides merging together. But other times, it's quite a serious storm, even just a few hundred yards out to sea. Has anyone seen it here? Ah, there we are. There's a few hands over here among the wind that have seen it before. It is. It's really, really quite scary. You can see land very, very close to you, but you're in the middle of a real squall, and it can rip up really, really quickly. It'd be very, very scary. Now, these two boys in my class, let me tell you what happened with them. Because one night, while it was dark, they got two small rowing boats. And they sat in one and they tied the other with a rope behind them. And they rowed out in the dark, in the middle of the night, into the middle of that stream, that tidal stream. Crazy. They rowed out there. Nobody knew they'd gone for an adventure. And then once they got right into the middle, where the waves were like this, they loosed the empty boat and left it there. And rowed back in again on the one boat. When they came back into the safety again of Stromness, they pulled the boat back up onto shore. Now, there's loads and loads of little piers. There's not just one harbour. There's one big, but there's loads and loads of little piers right along the whole stretch of Stromness. There's about a mile of tiny little piers. There's about 30 different piers. Pulled it in. One of them went and hid in a shed. The other went and raised the alarm. They called out the emergency services. Absolutely true. They called out the emergency services. And so in the middle of the night, the lifeboat, all the crew were called out, raised from their beds, down, get down as quickly as you can to the lifeboat station, and then get into your boat and out to sea. The Coast Guard, they were raised as well. Now, just to put this in the picture, you've got Stromness that sticks out in its point. And then on the other side of the stream, the tidal stream, you've got two islands. You've got Graham'sey and you've got Hoy. And so the Coast Guard had to comb three different islands right the way along the coastline of three different islands. So they're called out and they're running around desperately trying in a coordinated search to find along the coast while you've got the lifeboat out patrolling the stream, the tidal stream. And then you've also, all the way from Shetland, 150 miles away, you've got a helicopter down, patrolling the skies, going around and helping out, giving coordination, using its floodlights, trying to find it. All through the night and into the next morning, all these emergency services were out looking for this missing boy who was safe hiding in a shed. And into the next morning, they found the boat on Hoy. It had washed up on the shore of Hoy. They found the boat, still no boy, still searching. Back to the boy who raised this alarm, pressing for more information. What is going on here? Where was you last seen? All these kinds of things. Because his story was that one boy had gone out alone and sneaked out himself on that one boat. And so then when they found the empty boat, they thought that would be hilarious. There would be this big boat empty. And they kept on pressing him. And finally, they told the emergency service where the other boy was hiding. And they went and they found him there, hiding safe in the shed. Can you imagine the trouble he was in? Can you imagine? He got in so much trouble over that. Because let's just think. How much did they value their own lives? How much did they value their own lives in this story? They risked their lives in the middle of the night to go out into the middle of a tidal stream to plant that boat there. Just for a laugh. Just for fun. For giggles. They didn't take their lives seriously at all. Anything could have happened. It was dark. They were alone. Two small boats. Two young boys. They didn't value their lives at all. So much to live for, and they just threw away their lives at that, potentially. And how much did they value the emergency services? How much did they care? But all these people who've invested years in training and all these sorts of things, they called these guys up. These guys are volunteers. The lifeboat crew, they had to be up all night into the next day. They're volunteers. They could have been at work making money. They had their own businesses. There was Norman Brass. He was the mechanic. There was the Sinclair brothers, Willie and his brother. They couldn't make their money out of fishing because they were there attending someone else's rescue, and they didn't even need rescue. They didn't care. They didn't care about the whole raft of fundraisers that went on all year. I'm sorry, there's no pictures of all these people. There was going to be pictures. They didn't care about all these people who invested so much in raising money just to care for these lifeboats, just to look after them, the equipment, make sure that it was always going to be working absolutely perfectly every time it was needed. They didn't care. They didn't care about the helicopter coming all the way down from Lerwick. They'd never thought of that. Thousands and thousands of pounds were wasted that night trying to rescue two boys that had just fabricated the story for a lot of fun. How does that make you feel? How does that make us feel that two people would be so stupid? Such a silly thing to do. So easy to take volunteers for granted. It's so easy to take for granted the fact that you just know they're going to show up, they're going to be there. They're going to know what they're doing. They're going to care for you. They're going to risk it all. They're going to pour their love and support and their ability into you. They're going to teach you stuff. They're never going to let you down. And I think this is quite a good time to show our appreciation for the many, many volunteers that are here just now. So why don't we give our volunteers a round of applause? Because they really do deserve it. Thank you, volunteers. Thank you. Week in and week out, you're prepared and you show up and you give yourselves, you give up your evenings when you could be at home watching the football, you could be at home doing a number of other things with your families and your friends, and you show up and you're there for us. Thank you. And we really do value you. We value the support that you give. Thank you. And there's a book. There's a book that we look at on Sundays. There's a book that many of you look at through the week. Sometimes at home, sometimes at school. And it's full of stories like the one we just heard about someone who was so immensely strong that a word could calm the tide. A word could calm the wind. A word could calm the anxiety, the fear, the stress of everyone else that was on the lake that night. Because there were dozens of little boats just like his on the lake that night coming home. That story is true from the point that there weren't just the disciples on their boat. There was loads of folk to corroborate that story, because there was loads of folk in the lake that night that instantly saw when it went calm when Jesus stood up. And there's stories of him telling such fantastic stories, rich, rich tales, rich, rich teaching, that thousands of people showed up and were given a free lunch because they needed it to get back home. And there's stories, dozens of stories of people who couldn't stand up because they were crippled, and he led them to their feet. People who were socially outcast, lepers and tax collectors and worse. One contact with him and their life was transformed forever. Problems that swamped them like wind and waves. They couldn't overcome themselves, and he met their needs. He was a volunteer. He chose to be there. And I wonder, how did that make them feel? How did it make them feel? That encounter, even his closest friends said, what kind of man is this? I don't know about you, but my closest friends, my closest family, know me best. They know me warts and all. They know me good days. They know my bad days. They know my good habits. They know my bad habits. I used to get called thunder guts at home sometimes. My family know me best. My closest friends know me best. And his closest friends said, what kind of man is this? He must be the Son of God. The guys who ate and drank and lived in each other's pockets along with him. What kind of man is this? How did they feel about him when they were most swamped? Wow, that's when he was strongest. Jesus is a rescuer. He's like a 999. And all the stories we find up back that up. And his whole purpose of coming to earth was to show that love, that power of God, even when life swamps us, right to the end. No, not his death. Not his death. Right to the end, beyond his death, because he even beat death. He went to death, and he kicked a hole in the front door. He bashed it open, and he broke out again. Death could not hold him. He came back to life, and over 500 people saw him and risked their lives to tell us that it's true. For no gain. Because they saw the importance of the news that even when swamped by the worst circumstances, Jesus can be above that too. We don't deny the circumstances happen, but we put him on top of them and through them. And even at the end, even beyond death, he is there with us. Now, how does that make us feel? What do we do about that? Do we take it seriously? Is this a story made up to make us comfortable? Is this a set of moral laws that we can choose to try and attain and keep ourselves because it's the right thing to do? Is this the potential to rescue us and make us rescuers too? You might not be called to be a firefighter, but you know what to do when you dial 999. You might not be called to be a rescuer, a savior, a son of God, but you might know how to pray. And that prayer might make the difference. How do we respond? Well, maybe we say this morning, I've not taken you seriously enough, Jesus. I need to look into you more. I need to see if you're real. I need to see if you're more than just Robin Hood. An exciting legend. Or we might say, I've been trying to do it myself, Jesus. I've been trying to be good. I've been trying to be kind. I've been trying to follow God. But I've never asked your help. And I'd like you to help me. We could say, I want you in my boat, Jesus. Because life's stormy just now. It's not easy for me just now. And I need you in my boat. The courage and the confidence that's going to bring me, whatever happens, because you're there with me. What's your response this morning? How do you feel when you're directed with the possibility of this being real? We've got another song, and I'm going to invite up my choir just now, because I have the most beautiful choir, and their voices are stunning. So could I invite up the Brownies and the Cubs? And the Rainbows, and the Beavers. Can you come on up just now? We're going to fill up this space here as much as possible. We'll remove our boat. That's it. Up you come. That's you guys. Well done. Up you come. See what I mean? Aren't they a beautiful choir? See, you're smiling already and they've not sung a note. Oh, fantastic, guys. Who loves fishy music songs? Yeah, well, we've been learning a fishy music song, and it's called Special Kind of Heroes. And the action is Heroes, Special Kind of Heroes. And you can join in if you like. We're going to take the collection just now, the offering. Please, if you're a visitor, please do not feel guilty. Please do not feel responsible to put anything in. You're our guest, and we love you being with us. Just pass it on by. It's absolutely fine. But if you're used to giving, and that's what you've got this morning, and you're ready, then we're going to take the collection, the offering, just now while we sing this song. Please feel free to join in, especially with the chorus. It goes, 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? Heroes, 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 heroes. 3, 5, 7, 9, extraordinary kind of heroes, 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 heroes. And thank you, Boys Brigade, as well. I see we've got some Boys Brigade up. Brilliant. Good work, guys. So, are you ready? You're not filling me with confidence, choir. Are you ready?
Yes!
Yes, we are. So, I'll just take that out in a rock and roll fashion. Here we go. I've been looking to the left, I've been looking to the right. I've been looking all day, I've been looking through the night for heroes, special kind of heroes. I've been looking up high, I've been looking down low. I've been looking real fast, I've been looking real slow for heroes, special kind of heroes. 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? Heroes, 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 heroes. 3, 5, 7, 9, extraordinary kind of. Someone who is kind. Someone who is brave. Someone who is kind. Even though they're busy, they can always find the time. Heroes. Special kind of heroes. Someone who is fair with integrity. Always working for the good of their society. Heroes. Special kind of heroes. 2, 4, 6, 8. 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? 3, 5, 7, 9, extraordinary kind of heroes, 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 heroes. Someone who is real, their feet are on the ground. When they say they'll do something, they'll never let you down. Heroes. Special kind of heroes. Someone you can trust to lend a helping hand. Someone who will let you know exactly where you stand. Heroes. Special kind of heroes. Okay, last time. Here we go. 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Heroes, 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 heroes. 3, 5, 7, 9. Extraordinary kind of heroes. 2, 4, 6, 8. Let's everybody join in. 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? 3, 5, 7, 9. Extraordinary kind of heroes. Heroes, heroes, heroes. Well done, wonderful choir. Well done. Have a seat. Take a bow if you like.